We have this once-in-a-generation negotiation coming up next year, and it's a chance for Minneapolis to explore what its energy choices might be and how it could achieve some of its energy goals.
Earlier this week, the Minneapolis City Council heard a formal presentation of its pathways to meeting its ambitious local and equitable energy vision. One option is forming a city utility, an issue I discussed with my colleague this summer when the incumbent monopoly electric utility, Xcel Energy, sent a glossy letter to every customer in Minneapolis, warning of the dire consequences. I'm John Farrell, and this is Local Energy Rules, a podcast sharing powerful stories of successful local renewable energy and exposing the policy and practical barriers to its expansion.
Hi, this is Lisa Gonzalez, and I'm here with John Farrell. John is the director of the Democratic Energy Program at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. Hi, John.
Hey, Lisa.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I have some questions for you, John. I live in Minneapolis, and I got a letter in the mail, I believe it was last week, from Xcel Energy, and it was all about how the world is going to end because the city of Minneapolis is thinking about taking a vote on establishing its own electric utility. Does that sound like something that you're involved in?
I've heard of it.
Okay. So how is it you're involved in this, and what does your involvement have to do with me getting this letter from Xcel Energy?
Well, I'm involved in it in a number of ways. I'm also a Minneapolis resident, and the Institute for Local Self-Reliance is has its office in Minneapolis, and so we care very deeply about the energy choices that are available to the city. I'm also involved with a grassroots campaign called Minneapolis Energy Options that really is all about helping the city achieve its energy goals, whether that's cleaner energy, more affordable energy, improving energy reliability, or developing more local energy sources from renewable energy like wind or solar.
You know, tell me a little bit about this. I'm confused by some of the things in the letter, and I'm just wondering if you could sort of clarify it for me. Okay, first of all, is Minneapolis going to take over the city's gas and electric utilities?
That's a great question, and I think one that is on a lot of people's mind after getting that letter. The city of Minneapolis has a lot of goals regarding affordable energy and cleaner energy. It has goals with regards to climate change and reducing its greenhouse gas emissions. And it's looking for ways to improve on all of those different measures. And so the problem that the city of Minneapolis finds itself in, and so many other cities, is that there's only really one legal route to get something different from their energy service providers, which is to form a municipal utility, which is to basically become the utility instead of the investor-owned company. But there are these other moments in time when there are conversations between the city and its utility called franchise negotiations. It's essentially this contract, usually 20 years long, between the city and its utility that governs how the utility will deliver services using city property to put up the poles and wires, or in the case of the gas company, the pipelines. And we're just at this unique time in history in Minneapolis where we have this once-in-a-generation negotiation coming up next year, and it's a chance for Minneapolis to explore what its energy choices might be and how it could achieve some of its energy goals.
The city is thinking about establishing an electric utility. What got the city thinking about this?
What's frustrating, I think, for a city like Minneapolis that wants to look at what its energy options are and improve its energy outlook, its energy future, is that state law doesn't really give it a lot of choices. And when these franchise negotiations, as I mentioned, come up, this sort of once-in-a-generation contract negotiation with the utility, there's an opportunity to have a conversation with your utility, but state law doesn't allow you to discuss a lot of the things that the city would care about. Whereas becoming a municipal utility is a legal route, is in fact the only legal route the city has to exercise an energy choice. And so what is going on in Minneapolis is not that the city is saying it's going to take over tomorrow, or even right after this vote would be taken in August, but rather, how can the city generate some leverage in its conversation with the utilities, let the utilities know that it is serious about getting better energy services than it has been getting, whether that's cleaner energy or more affordable energy or reliability issues. So this conversation, this public hearing that has taken place, and this vote that might come up in another week or two is really an opportunity for the city to keep that conversation going. And it's already borne some fruit.
It has, such as?
Well, the Minneapolis Energy Options campaign negotiated a very detailed memorandum of understanding, which is basically an agreement between the campaign and CenterPoint Energy, which is the gas utility, wherein the gas utility essentially said that they were largely going to try and help the city meet its energy goals, focusing on expanding its conservation and energy efficiency programs, that they were going to commit to helping the city reach its 30% greenhouse gas reduction goal by 2025, and a variety of other measures that really could significantly improve affordability of, you know, heating energy for the citizens and businesses in Minneapolis and make it have a much smaller climate footprint.
So that's why I didn't get a weird letter from them, because they provide my gas.
Right. CenterPoint Energy really sat down at the table when they heard about this campaign and when they heard what the city was interested in and wanted to know how they could work with the city to get to these results. And we haven't seen the same response yet from Xcel Energy.
Now, in the letter that I got, Xcel told us all about all the great things that they've done and, you know, what an efficient and affordable source they are for electricity for the city. Why should Minneapolis look elsewhere?
I think what's important to keep in mind with a utility like Xcel Energy is that a lot of the things that they have accomplished, a lot of the things that they have done about renewable energy, for example, are the result of state law. They're the result of a lot of citizen activism and legislative work to require them to provide renewable energy. So they were a leader on wind energy in the mid-90s because the state told them, you will develop renewable energy resources like wind power in exchange for continuing to store more of radioactive nuclear waste from your nuclear power plants. And in the mid-2000s, the state told Xcel that you will, along with other utilities in the state, achieve 30% renewable energy by 2020. Both of these things were vociferously opposed by Xcel Energy at the time, although they're more than happy to claim credit for the results at this point. And there have been other examples, too, of things that Xcel has done, whether it's the conversion of a coal power plant in the Riverside neighborhood to natural gas, and their solar rewards program, their rebate program for solar energy, where they're very proud of those things that they've done, but it was really only a lot of citizen activism, grassroots campaigning, and hard work to get them to essentially overcome their opposition to get these things in place. So I think with that historical context, it's understandable that the city would look at all of its energy options and not just how do we have to bully Xcel into doing what we want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, isn't it going to cost me a lot of money? I mean, if I pay taxes and I live in Minneapolis, doesn't it cost a lot for the whole city to have a utility? I mean, to do the conversion and everything? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, there are a couple things that make forming a city-owned utility very complicated. And one of them is a very perverse piece of state law that says that if Minneapolis were to go ahead with this idea of forming a municipal utility, they would actually have to pay Xcel their lost profits. So the concept there being, I guess, that for some reason Xcel Energy is entitled to keep making money off people who have decided that they are no longer adequate to serve their needs. I think it's an example, unfortunately, where a good lobbyist for the utility got in a nice little piece of legislation that really isn't in the public interest. So that complicates things. But one thing to keep in mind is, number one, that's not really what Minneapolis is setting out to do. They're having this hearing and this conversation about a municipal utility because right now it's the only legal route they have to really attaining change. And it's a way that they can exert some leverage and some pressure on the utilities to help come to the table and to help them achieve their climate and energy affordability goals, to help with local economic development around energy issues. And it's worked. CenterPoint Energy has signed this memorandum with the grassroots campaign Minneapolis Energy Options focused on the city's energy goals. And I think the idea here would be not that we want to supplant Xcel as the electric utility, but that we hold that option in reserve as the way that we can get them to the table to take seriously the city's desire to improve its energy future.
So what do you hope to see happen? What would you like to see happen?
I think the first thing for the city to do is to make a very serious commitment publicly through a city council process that they want to see through their franchise negotiation the setting down of these goals for improving their energy future around clean and affordable and reliable local energy, that they want to wrap up their franchise negotiations in time to look at all of the possible alternatives, including municipalization in 2014, and that they commit themselves to really laying out what their energy vision is so that it's very clear for the utilities what it is that they have to live up to in order to maintain their service to the citizens of Minneapolis. Now, I also think, too, that it's important for the city. It's already committed itself to a study, what's called an energy pathways study, to look at basically how it can meet some of the energy goals that it's already outlined. And that study is going to come back in the spring of 2014. And I think it's crucial that the city follow up on that with a more robust feasibility study of what it would look like to be a city-owned utility, much like they've done in Boulder, Colorado, with really remarkable results. In the study done in Boulder, they found that they could increase renewable energy to about 50% from where it is currently. They could reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 50% from where they are currently. They could do it at a similar cost to what Xcel was charging, in addition to the cost of buying the grid from Xcel Energy, and they would also be able to have as good or better reliability on their electric system. You know, it's a win-win-win as far as I'm concerned, and I think the city of Minneapolis needs to do that same study as they did in Boulder to really make sure that it's making the best choices.
That was ILSR senior researcher John Farrell speaking with his colleague Lisa Gonzalez about the strategies for the city of Minneapolis to achieve a local and equitable energy vision. You can learn more about the city's efforts by viewing the Energy Pathways presentation shown to the city earlier this week, or reading our many posts on the subject at ilsr.org. Until next time, keep your energy local, and thanks for listening.